becoming more confident in himself, more importantly than God, right? That Godfidence, right? And I'd like to honor a man here today as Brother Bill Barger. I don't get this opportunity much, but I wouldn't be the man I am today if you, Pastor Art, didn't pour into me back when we were at Hope Harbor, and I really appreciate you. And I love you, and I believe I heard in my heart that God is building your prophetic voice. So I think that's amazing. Amen. Let's pray, okay? Can we do that? Jesus, you said if we lift up your name, you'd draw all men to you. I'm at your mercy. We're at your mercy. The beautiful thing is that we can find your mercy in our time of need. We can come boldly to you today. God, I just ask you right now in the name of Jesus, Father, that you would speak to hearts, that my voice will not be heard, God, but yours will be. So, Father, I just love you, appreciate you, and praise you, and thank you, God, for this opportunity. You know my heart. You know I don't want to preach at people. I want to preach for people. And, Lord, I want to contend for people in their lives, Lord, that they be set free. So, God, we just say to you, be all the glory, power. This is your time. Let me get out of the way so that you may speak in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Eric asked me to teach on love, and I've got much to say about love. But then he said something about an advent, and I had no idea what he was talking about. And then I had to do some research. I don't know about you, when he started speaking on this, and he started talking, and in my study I learned it's about the arrival. It's about getting our heart prepared for this coming season, about Jesus and his birth. Amen? And he spoke last week. He talked about you being pregnant, right? And I'm going to light that candle right now. And somebody have a fire extinguisher handy. So he talked about hope. Now listen, hope is biblical expectation. It's not a quarter in a fountain. It's not a wish something would happen. It's built upon the belief that God says what he says and means what he has to say. And that he will set forth what he says he would do, and it would accomplish its purpose. And he asked me to preach on love, and I was like, well, how am I going to tie that in? Well, if you'll give me some grace here, away in a manger, not only did joy come to the world, but love came to the world. And the question goes, what does love have to do with it? It has everything to do with it. So today I'd like to challenge you and speak to your heart and light one of these candles as a symbol of remembrance of Christ and his love and all that he has done for us. Why I talk so much about love? Because without it, I have nothing. I had a faith to move mountains, take on big projects, heal all the sick. Without love, I have nothing. I'm still self-seeking. You understand what I mean? I could give all my stuff away. I could feed the poor. But if I'm doing it for something inside of me and I have not love, I am nothing. I could tell you all the stuff that God has to say and the secrets and the mysteries and speak with eloquence and tongues of angels and men and have not love, I have nothing. Without love, what are we? We're diminished. You know, back in Job, Satan came. Right? They begin to accuse Job, saying, if you take everything he has, take everything he has away, he'll curse you to your face. Why? Because the devil believes that inherently we all are selfish at heart. Come on now. He believes that we really don't trust God. We really don't believe the things that we have to say. We just are going through the motions sometimes. That if he could put a little bit of pressure on us, he can get us to turn and look at God and curse him. And blame him for all the wrong that's in our life. I've seen it over and over and over again. The first person they do is they blame God because God could have stopped it. But God is not going to override our free will. I have the right. I could go home today. I could strong arm robbery a store today if I wanted to. But I don't. Is he going to stop me? No. If that was the case, there would be no evil running rampant in this world. And what is it that we need? We need a love revelation. Come on now. He told us this, a new commandment that I give you. He could have said anything, guys. An Old Testament wasn't void of love. And he hung the two, the words of the prophets with two, saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, a new commandment I give to you. He was upping the ante. He was raising the bar for us. He says, love one another as I have loved you. That's my standard in life. I'm not following man. I'm not following you. I'm following him. So just because you want to justify it doesn't mean I will. Way in a manger. He should have been, there should have been pomp and circumstance for our king. There should have been king upon every king waiting his arrival, wrapped in Egyptian cotton. Manger made of pure gold. That's what he should have came in. That's what his arrival should have looked like, but it didn't. It didn't. He was tucked away. The world didn't even see it except for some shepherds and some wise men. That's another sermon. Some wise men came seeking. He did that because he's profuse in his love. For God didn't just love, he so loved. I'm around teenagers. They like to use those type of words when they're trying to emphasize a point. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. He gave us his precious son, his only begotten one, so that you and I may live and we can have everlasting life. That's what he did for you and me, because our God is passionate about us. It took me years to realize how much he really loved me, because I was so into performance and I had to perform for him. And then when I got set free is when I realized how much he cared about me, how much he loved me. And then when he looked upon me, he calls me perfect. He calls me holy. Because I am myself nothing but filthy, unrighteous rags. But in him I am the righteousness of Christ. And I'll learn who I am because of love, guys. Love is the antidote to your selfish little desires, your chips on your shoulders, your little anger buttons that people can push every day. Love is the antidote.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm going to sidestep for just a minute. See, I believe this month is going to be a month. I believe Pastor Eric got into some prophetic last week. I believe this is a month of birthing. Amen? So what am I trying to say? Even though that promise comes when it's tucked away and nobody is looking and nobody is seeing, don't you devalue what God is doing. Because maybe it should come with pomp and circumstance, but God has chosen for you to be faithful in the day of small beginnings and small in the day of humbling beginnings, guys. So if you're going to birth this, don't you have expectation it's supposed to look like something? Because it never does. Amen? See, I was praying and meditating a while ago, and I feel like the Lord was speaking, saying, the water has broken. And then reminded me of 2 Samuel in the 5th chapter when David was fighting his enemies. And he said that the water is broken. And he called the place Baal Perazim. Now, you scholars may have a different understanding of how to say that word, but that is mine. And he says, this is the place where the flood took out my enemies. This is a very holy moment for us this month. We can't get wrapped up in the Christmas spirit that we forget about the Holy Spirit. We can't worry so much about the presence under the tree as the presence who hung on the tree. We're so full of commercialism, materialism. Some of you guys are so pressured. Christmas has to be perfect because you're trying to relive a childhood type of experience when it was all right in your world. And now maybe it's not all right in your world. And you're stressed and you lose sight of the Christ, the anointed one, the one that loves you with a passion, with a vigor. And he wants you to come to him. Come to him, all that you are heavy and burdened and weighed down. He'll give you rest. Some of you this year, this time of year is just hard. I know how it feels. I lost two grandparents and my father within a span of 4 years. I know what it feels like to have loss around those Christmas times when that seat is empty at the table. But what can help us all is the love of Jesus. See, Jesus is so good at overwhelming what overwhelms us. And man, we fight and we fuss. And see, I believe the timing of this whole thing right here is because some of you guys are fixing to sit at the table with some people that you don't get along with. Some of those family members. Some of those people have spoken ill over you. So let's dig in a little bit. How about that? Why do I speak about love? Let me tell you right now. 1 John chapter 4, 7. Let's get into the Word. I'm going to try to get you out of here on time. I haven't done this in a while, so lots in my heart, right? I'm only going to take the time that He says we need to take. You don't have to have 10-hour service to see God move, but if He says stay for 10, we need to stay for 10. The problem is we don't want to do that because we're too in a hurry. There's an anointed word that went over this congregation. It said stop stopping. Maybe the stopping is you getting up from the altar, going about your merry way, your busy life, your agenda. Maybe the breakthrough was just another 5 minutes away. Maybe God tires to the altar again, right? It says this, beloved, let us love one another. For the love is of God, and everyone who is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. I looked it up. That's agape, guys. That's not the perverted worldly love that He's talking about. That's not the, hey, I'll be there for you, but when times are tough, I'm running and I'm off. It's the type of love that when you come against me and do harmful things to me, that I just reject you as a friend from that point on. No, it's the type of love that says I love you and my patience will outlast anything you throw at me. I want to know God. Yes. This means nothing to me if I know Him, if I don't know Him. Makes me wonder. Jesus, at the Sermon on the Mount, looked at people, or He's talking about the last day. He says, did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not cast out demons in your name? Did I not perform wonders in your name? Works, works, works. He said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. For I never knew you. I wonder if they didn't have a love revelation in their life. Maybe their works was to build their ministry. What if it was to use His name for their fame? What if it's to tap into a supernatural power? But yet the love of Christ did not bear witness in them. I want to know God. Because I'm going to stand before Him. You guys are going to have to be your own time. But I'm going to be before Him one day. And I want to know my Father now so I can know Him throughout eternity. Because to know God is eternal life. It says this, and this is the love of God that was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son in the world that we may live through Him. This love, not that we love God, but He loved us. He loved us. Quit thinking you're the generator. You're the recipient. Amen. And He sent us His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. You're like, I get it, Ray. I get it. Well, we're fixing to get down to the nitty-gritty here in a minute. It says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God makes His home inside of us, abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as a Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him, Him in God. And we have known and believe the God that love has for us. God is love. There is no imitation unless there's an origination. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. How do I dwell in his presence? By becoming love. By becoming the very thing of who he is. Not that I am a God, I'm just a son. And I want to be like my daddy. You see, it's easy to get out here and preach. It's another thing when I'm out there and I'm walking through Walmart and people's attitudes are poor and there's chips on shoulders. It's easy to preach it right here when I'm exchanging with the parent or somebody doesn't see the way that I see. It's easy. It's easy to get up here and talk about it and all of us praise and all of us clap and all of us say amen. But then when you're standing in the face of the fierceness of opposition, where's your love go? See, he never once got out of who he was. I love that passage because he said the ruler of this world, he talked about in John 14, the ruler of this world is coming for me. But he has nothing in me. That means that what was inside of Jesus was much greater than anything the world had to throw at him. Love tacked him to that tree, guys. It was love. It was love. He was reviled, didn't revile back. He was insulted, didn't insult back. That's the kind of love I want burning in me. That if everybody in here sought ill will towards me, that I would still love you for who you are and who God created you to be and see you through the eyes of his blood and his forgiveness and his resurrection. And we're not committed to that stuff. We only want what's convenient for us. If the food is a little bit too long, we only want what's convenient for us. Everybody wakes up tomorrow's not going to be rolling out the red carpet for you to make your day the sweetest day you've ever had. You might as well throw that out the window. You could possibly just get before Jesus today and say, I want this kind of love inside of me that burns. That when they do come against me, when they squeeze me, all that comes out of me is Jesus. What do you think we've made a mess of it here in America? There ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. I want to be genuine. Whether you receive today or not, I want to be genuine. I want what you see on Sunday to be what you see on Monday, what you see on Tuesday. See, I'm not a weekend warrior, guys. I don't want to be. I get one life in this life. I get one time around this ball that spins to shine and to be the salt. And then I stand before him someday. He's going to ask me questions. It's like you preached love, but did you live it? I'd rather live it. I keep saying the greatest sermon I'll ever preach is the life that I live. What about you, huh? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says this. I shared, and I'm not very good. I know how to do PowerPoint and all that. I'm just not good at titles, and I just go. All right? And plus, I'm limited on my time, so I just go. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. And what? There's no imitation without an origination, for God is love. God comes in the room, love is present. He can't separate himself from who he is. You shouldn't be separating yourself from who he is either. You understand what I mean? It says this, and we walk in love as Christ has also loved us and gave given himself for us and offering a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. That's my whole, I want to be that to God. I want to be a sweet smelling, holy, living sacrifice to the Lord himself. Not no filthy, stinking, rotten attitude when things don't go my way. Again, you're going to have people sitting at your table here in about 2 or 3 weeks. Maybe you've already started. Come on. You're going to people tomorrow that's going to try to push your buttons. We'll get rid of your buttons. There's going to be people get under your skin, get new skin. Come on, I'm a new creation. I can walk as he walked because he told me to. And he walked in love. You see, we got his kingdom is so upside down. You could choose your path. You could choose your way. You could choose the broad if you like. The kingdom way is when you're slapped, you turn the other cheek. Kingdom way is when people speak ill of you, you immediately go into prayer. Man, people rehearse it over and over. I hear them. They get so hung up on the hurt and the pain. They rehearse it over and over. And they never find the peace of God because that is not true. It is not a good report. It is not lovely. And it's not worthy of praise. Those are the things that he told us to meditate on. He said, the God of peace will be with you. Boy, we're quick, aren't we? We're quick to tap into that old nature that should be buried by now. Amen? And see, what the sad reality is, some people begin to create justifications. They twist the word and they try to justify it and make it a holy moment because they got into their anger. When the anger of man never produces the righteousness of God. That's the scary part. It's not scary when somebody's tender-hearted before the Lord as clay is to a potter and says, God, mold my heart into this. I burn for this. This is why I'm made. This is why I'm here. I'm here for you first, but I'm here to look like you and to worship you. And I'm here for those that are outside of my little bubble, outside of my little home here. I'm here for you guys. I'm not here for me. I'd be home with him if I had no purpose. What's my purpose is to love and to love profusely and extravagantly and to support and to love and speak life into people instead of try to destroy them. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Let's listen to the words of our master. Verse 43. You with me? I'm going to try to move it along here. See, here's where the disconnect starts to happen. You love those that love you. You love those that love you. But the love of Jesus is much deeper. Because if he first loved us, and we didn't love him back, if he only loved those that loved him, where would you be? See, I find it hypocritical of us, me included, that we can't give grace to people, but we go to God for the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, the ninth, the tenth time, saying, forgive me, I'll never do it again. And then when somebody comes against us, we immediately shut off the grace fountain. Because now we're hurt and we're offended. And we see how selfish we really are. Freely you receive, freely you give. It's amazing to me how people forget from where they started. I've seen it over and over and over again. Look, I did some things, guys. And if it wasn't for the blood and his resurrecting power, I am only who I am by the grace of God. I can say what Paul said. It's amazing how we soon forget all the mercy, all the grace that he's poured upon you. And one person says something and interrupts your whole day. Now you can't even think about loving others because you're so wrapped up in yourself because now you're offended. And it's not about his kingdom being led by his spirit. It's about you being led around by your anger, your hurt, your offense. We all do it, guys. There's no stones in my pocket. Jesus was preaching. He says, you've heard it said, but I say, not me. You've heard it said, but I say. He's saying, you're saying what I'm not. He says, you heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Is this just as anointed as saying no to drugs? Is that our measuring stick that we don't drink too much alcohol and do heavy drugs? And we're okay? Is this just as anointed coming from his mouth? But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Oh, no, I'm not. Yes, you better. You live how you want to, but the kingdom, you're not living in it. You're not living by it. I guarantee you, the pain will catch up with you. Because you're not free. You understand what's going on inside of you so much bigger than what's going on around you. I'm crucified with him. Nevertheless, I live, but Christ in me. I don't want the world to see Ray anymore. I want them to see Jesus. How do I do that? I become love. And then by doing good, I put hot coals into their laps. His love is so pure. It's so holy. It's so right. It's void of evil. It's void of darkness. Come on, at the crucifix, he could have called down angels, legions, a force to be reckoned with. Wiped them out. Had the last laugh. All he wanted to do was good. That's all he came to do, is set the captive free. Give good news to the poor. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Great tidings of great joy. I'm here. The Father has sent me, and I'm going to lay down my life for you. Because you're filthy. You're stinky. Your sin, it's a stench before the Father. But I'm willing to overlook the messiness of who you are. And I'm willing to let my body become extremely messy so that you can get cleaned up. He did this for us. Why? Because we're not lovers by nature. We're takers by nature. We're selfish by nature. This one it says, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Don't you know that I've counted the cost? Don't you know that I know that there's a price to pay? Don't you know that I know there's people who are going to use me? Don't you know that people are going to speak ill of me? Don't you know that people are going to do harm to me, maybe my family? Don't you know? But I've counted the cost, guys. Why? Because what does it say? That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Not here for this earth. It's passing. It's a vapor. If it's a big deal to you, the cares of this life choke out the Word of God. You're suffocating. Your believing's wrong. It says that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for He makes His sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. He didn't promise me a bed of roses. He gave me a crown of thorns. He took them for me. It says, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? In other words, you're in the same boat with the world. You have not separated yourself. That's what holiness is, guys. Amen. It says, if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? And do you even, or don't the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father is perfect. It's up to us, guys. It's up to us. Givers or takers. Lovers or haters. What do we want to be? What do we want to be? You're going to sit by the table. Or sit at the table. Somebody you might not care too much about. When they start gossiping. When they start saying stuff. Are you going to gossip? Are you going to speak ill? Are you going to take offense? Or won't you start praying for them? That's novel. It's amazing. We'll gossip and we'll have a WWJD bracelet on our wrist. Take it off. Put it in your heart. Christian t-shirt. We'll bless you very much. I mean, a good blessing, right? I've heard people in the church say stuff like, you don't want to see me get angry. That's all the testimony I need to hear from you. That's all I need to know. I know where you're at. You're afraid to get hurt. You're afraid you're going to be a doormat. And you're choosing the anger of man instead of choosing the love of Christ. Was Jesus a doormat? Why didn't he speak? Because of meekness held him in the place of strength and power. He could not be moved. Nothing in him. Nothing you do to me has any bearing on what he's doing inside of me. You're the one that's not seeing clear, not me. We don't look at that from that perspective, do we? See, instead of crying for what people do for us, won't we cry for them that they don't see clear? Are we going to join our heart with him, or what are we going to do? Huh? Come on, what are we going to do? Are we going to cry over what they did to us, or are we going to cry for them because they don't see clear? The heart of compassion, the heart of love, doing good to those who do harm to you, to those that want to hurt you, that want to spitefully use you. We get hurt, we get harmed as we grow up, and we say to ourselves, that'll never happen to me again. Some people don't want to go to church. They don't want to sit in church because people are mean in church. And that's true. And they carry on this facade and they act like they're something, and then they behind the scenes they're very spiteful, they're very ugly, they're chips on their shoulders, and then they hurt people. But the only problem is you don't go to church for other people, you're going to church for him. And they're the ones going to stand before him someday. And let's hope that they see clear. Do you understand? If people would see clear, they wouldn't do what they're doing. If they repent and believe right, come on, something's twisted inside of them. Something is twisted inside of them, and they're not thinking straight. And they think this is the way they should go, right? It's the way that seems right unto man. In the end, it leads to... they're on a path with a bridge out. Maybe God put you in front of them so that you could be the light to them. Maybe this Christmas you could be the light at that table instead of being the joining force of all the evil. You cannot beat the devil using his tactics. And if you do, you lose. I borrowed that. One of my favorite passages. Do you have 2 Corinthians? We're going to wrap up here. I know pastors say that and then they don't mean it. They mean it, but they mean it like a half an hour later. Listen, guys, the only thing I want is God to touch you. Sometimes you want the power. I want the power of God. I want the power of God. I want to be able to be a trustworthy companion of the Lord, that he can give me secrets that I will go to prayer or I'll go to bat. Not so I can gossip and talk about people and think that I'm something more than them, that I've arrived or achieved, that I can be God's vessel in that moment. I want that, but sometimes what you need is your mind renewed. You need to believe right. You don't have to be ugly anymore. You don't have to act that way anymore. You don't. You don't. I love this. It says, for the love of Christ, verse 14. Is it up there? I love this. Oh, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Sorry. I got so excited about it. It says, for the love of Christ compels us. Can I stop right there? I did a word study on that. I love it. It means I'm constrained by His love. Another one said that I pressed. Another one said that I'm to drive forcibly. I love it. That's why when I'm in Walmart, my heart goes to people that are hurting and broken. And I want to go pray. I want the love of Christ to grab me by the back belt loop and pull me to a place of boldness. What would it look like, church, if we had a revelation of love like that? That we quit living for ourselves and living for Him, really. What would it look like if we loved people with a passion? Come on, I'm declaring this community, this town, Paris, 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 the city of love. Come on now. Named after Paris, France. I want the love of Christ. I want Him to push me. I want me to push me into His greatness, not mine. I want to be so compelled, so launched forward into this thing. I get so lost in love, as the old song says. It says this, it says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. So in my mind, everybody in here is important to me because you have the created value of the Father. Yeah. And that's how I'm going to see you. Not for the rottenness that you can pull out. It says this, and He died for all, that those who should live no longer for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again. I can give you scriptures after scriptures that love is patient, it's kind, it doesn't behave rudely, that it hopes all things, bears all things, believes all things, endures all things, rejoices in the truth, doesn't rejoice in the evil. Love, I'm not talking about just giving hugs out, guys. I'm talking about where the truth sets people free. So if somebody's in evil, you don't need to rejoice with that. You need to rejoice with the truth and tell them the truth about who they are. But I can't find any scriptures that talks about it's okay for us to revel in our anger, right, in our frustration. Right. We play the human card a lot. Right. I'm supposed to be dead. Not literally. If I do, somebody raise me from the dead and we'll rejoice. All right? Unless I get a glimpse of the other side, I may not want to. But I know I won't. There's nothing in there that says it's okay. What would it look like if we really became lovers? Laid down lovers for Him. What would it look like this Christmas if you were the light of His love? See, this stuff burns in me like fire shut up in my bones. Every time that I know that I'm walking out of love, I realize that is not who I am, and I get my mind straight. I'm not saying that stuff don't come against me, but I'm walking this thing out. This is my commitment. This is my hand to the plow, guys. I don't want to look back, because if I do, I might as well just take off and never see you guys again. I don't want to play church. I don't want to play religion. It's dead. It's boring. It's lifeless. I just wonder what it would look like if people really believed what they said they are, and what would it look like if people really lay down their lives for each other? Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus, who didn't find it to be robbery, though He was equal with God, that He would come to earth as a form of a bondservant and in the likeness of men, so that God can reach out to you, and that He didn't want heaven without you, and He died in your place so that you can live, and He make you alive on the inside. Stand with me.